So, as Gary said, we're thinking about Bartimaeus this morning. Poor Bartimaeus, another of our gospel friends who will forever be known by what they used to be. Like doubting Thomas, today's hero will always be thought of as blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus's story is one of massive transformation, but also a journey. But we also have to be careful, we can't consider Bartimaeus' story in isolation. Bartimaeus' tale is a pinnacle of a little trilogy of stories in Mark. Lots of stories in our cultures come in threes, be it the little pigs or Goldilocks and the three bears. The Bible is no different. We like stories in threes. And when a story comes in threes, we know that we should sit up and pay attention. In Mark 10, we have three stories of people asking Jesus for something. Now, I thought I wouldn't make you sit through a really long reading to hear all of them, but I will summarize them as I go along for you. Although I suspect for most of you, these stories will all be very familiar. So firstly, in verse 17, a rich man approached Jesus, asking how to inherit eternal life. Jesus established that he had followed all the commandments since his youth. Then the passage goes on to say that Jesus loved him, but challenged him to sell all his possessions and give the money away, and to follow him. When the rich man heard it, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. I assume we know this story. Secondly, we have James and John, disciples of Jesus and the sons of Zebedee. They're asking for positions of honor, sitting either side of Jesus when he comes into his glory. That's our second story. Then we have today's hero of the faith, Bartimaeus. Yes, he begins this encounter physically blind, but I'd argue that he sees far more clearly what Jesus is about than the others who have reached out to him. Jesus and his disciples are leaving Jericho. Despite all his warnings of the trials that are before him, Jesus has still drawn quite a large crowd whilst he was in the town. In the midst of this, a blind man is sitting at the roadside. This man had no choice but to be a beggar. It was not impossible for him to do some kind of work in a practical sense. But disability was considered as a result of some fault either of the individual or perhaps of their parents in those days. And as a result, disabled people were generally ostracized, particularly from good religious company. So blind Bartimaeus begged outside the town by the side of the road. But when he heard that Jesus was nearby, Bartimaeus shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And when the pious people tried to stop him from bothering the teacher, he cried out all the more loudly, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped, commanded that they call Bartimaeus to him, and changing their tune, they did. In response, Bartimaeus threw off his cloak and sprang up. Now that's enthusiasm that's beyond most of us on a Sunday morning. He sprang up and came to Jesus. When Jesus asked him what he could do for him, Bartimaeus asked for his sight back. Jesus told him that his faith had made him well, and the no longer blind Bartimaeus followed Jesus on the way. I think we can see a pattern here. What is striking about these three stories is the movement within them and beyond them. Each question is framed by a journey. Jesus is on the road each time when he's approached with a question. And each time the challenge he generates is to follow him. Journeying, question, then challenge to journey some more. The rich man comes with his question about how to inherit eternal life. And Jesus tells him that he lacks one thing: to sell all his possessions, give the money to the poor, and follow him. All those three things combined are the singular thing that the rich man lacks. I'll tell you why. People tend to focus on the rich man's reluctance to part with his possessions. But the problem is just as much that he does not follow Jesus. His possessions are not just a problem by the mere fact that he owns them. They're a problem because they hold him back from following Jesus. When Jesus calls, he fails to follow. Then the sons of Zebedee come with the request for positions of authority. They want to sit at the right and the left side. But Jesus challenges them, asks them whether they can drink the cup that he will drink, or be baptized with his baptism. In other words, can they follow him in doing the difficult things as well? Or are they only interested in the glory? Can they follow him in servant leadership, wherever that may lead? Are they prepared to be the last in order to be first? Can they follow in his footsteps? And we will soon discover that they cannot. Then we have Bartimaeus, whose question is less of a request and perhaps more of a demand. He cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the contrast between Bartimaeus and the other questioners in the preceding stories couldn't be much starker. Was he the one who perhaps finally got the right question, the jackpot answer that got him the right healing? Was he the one who understood the right religious angle to take? Well, technically speaking, Bartimaeus' request is actually wrong. He calls Jesus Son of David, and a little later in Mark 12, Jesus will refute that title. Jesus teaches that David had referred to the Messiah as my Lord, so then how could the Messiah be David's son if he is David's Lord? It's a technicality, but it's an interesting one. So Bartimaeus isn't getting brownie points for having his theology or his learning right. In terms of his factual understanding of who Jesus is, he's on dodgy ground. But he has understood what Jesus is about. Where he differs from the others is that he's plain speaking, he's honest and open in his petitioning. He cries out for mercy. Jesus responds to Bartimaeus because his request is deeply felt and humble. The earlier conversations had been based on a sense of entitlement. The rich man effectively says, "I've been good, so surely I've earned this." And the disciples are seeking after greater power and status. "Let us sit at your right hand and your left in glory," they say, as though they had any right to ask it. But Bartimaeus asks for that most fundamental of needs, mercy. when Jesus asks him what form that might take, Bartimaeus asked only to be able to see again, asked only what was normal for everyone else. Nothing grandiose or powerful. He just wanted his sight back. And on receiving his sight, his first action was to follow Jesus on the way. No questions asked, no hesitation. Immediately he regained his sight and followed Jesus. In this unplanned encounter with the Saviour, Bartimaeus finds healing. Not just any healing, but the healing that he needed. The healing that he needed in order to follow Jesus better. There are some for whom a lack of sight is no barrier to their relationship with God. I think we know some. But for Bartimaeus to be shown mercy and restoration, to be able to follow Jesus, that was what he needed. Now we know that healing comes in many forms. For Bartimaeus, his need for healing was his sight. For others, it may be other physical ailments, or the healing of broken relationships, mental scars, harmful habits, or whatever it is that ties us down and prevents us from following more closely. What we do know is that wherever the healing, whatever the healing that we need or have received, healing from Jesus is never just to fix us, just to put us right and leave us where we were before. We don't go into hospital to get repaired and once finished decide to just stay and enjoy the ward. It might be attractive to stay put. If we're no longer in pain, we get to stay in bed all day, someone brings us three meals a day. And there are bound to be visitors and other patients for company. Now that we're healed, it may be tempting to treat the hospital like some kind of holiday spa. And I'm sure there are some who would try. But Jesus doesn't bring us healing in order to institutionalize us. The exact opposite, in fact. He brings healing in order to release us from whatever is preventing us from following him. And following him means more than just believing in him and then staying put. Means more than just obeying the rules, but staying out of harm's way. That was precisely the mistake that the rich man made. No, when we are healed to follow. And that means not just observing what Jesus does, but getting our feet dirty on the road with him. We need to be actively seeking his will for our lives, and following where he calls us. Now, I'm not suggesting that he's about to tell each of us to dash off to different parts of the country or even across the world. But we can't allow our faith to become static. If we're listening to his leading, he won't just let us coast along as we are. He will always draw us beyond whatever is normal for us, and challenge us into new pastures of experience. We can't sit in the hospital ward of the Jesus Memorial Wing and wait for faith to grow just as a result of healing. Faith tells us, all good, time to go now. You've been discharged, please stop bed blocking. I believe this is what Jesus means when he says to Bartimaeus, go, your faith has made you well. If we don't remain static, but follow him, and we step out in faith, then we exercise our faith. Faith is like a muscle. If we don't exercise it, if we never test its potential, it atrophies. Like a patient who has been in bed for too long and then needs physio to get the leg muscles working again. Faith is just the same. But if we exercise our faith, practicing the action of having faith on a daily basis, and that means challenging ourselves, then our faith muscles will become stronger. When we trust in God's leading to follow and find that he is in turn faithful to us, that is what makes us grow in faith. When we follow his lead out of our comfort zones, he's given the opportunity to prove that he is faithful to us. And so our faith increases. Bartimaeus exercised his faith in calling out to Jesus, when according to all religious custom, he apparently had no right. But when Jesus called him, he immediately threw off the only protection that he had, his cloak, and followed the call. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was calling for him, he followed his voice. And Jesus responded, "Your faith has made you well." Because he came in faith and was healed in order to go on following and growing and being healed day by day. And so I pray, may we emulate the example of Bartimaeus and follow in the footsteps of Christ ever closer every day.